Old Testament lesson this morning is in Genesis chapter 9, verses 8 through 17, and this can be found on page 7 in the Old Testament section of your pew Bible. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds and between me and the earth." No, "and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." The New Testament lesson is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 22, and this can be found on page 234 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. "For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with the angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. 2 weeks ago, we did scripture from Paul in one of the letters to the Corinthians. And we came, and the theme or the message there was the gospel, which is what? The good news. Which is what? The word of God. But what Paul preached and says often that he preaches and continually preaches is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Bless you. Why would he preach the crucifixion? That's man's triumph over Jesus because they killed him. Well, if you stop reading after they bury him in the tomb, you miss the point. The point is the resurrection. Without the crucifixion, you don't have the resurrection. Without that payment of sin, without that surrender and sacrifice, we don't get the blessing. Last week, we continued with Transfiguration Sunday, and it was the glory of God. Now, everybody, when you read the scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 3 through 6, Peter, James, and John are on that Mount of Transfiguration in this blinding light. Jesus is just bathed in the brightest light imaginable. Well, can any of you guys see that today? I mean, we can look out and see the sun, but we can't see the glory of God as it was seen then. And interestingly enough, the voice that they hear says, "This is my beloved. Listen to him." It doesn't say, "Look at him." It says, "Listen." Jesus Christ in John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. And nothing was created without him. And then the Word took on flesh and dwelt among us through Christ Jesus." So it's always been the Word. The Word is the gospel. The Word is Jesus Christ. The Word is what saves us. Well, the scripture that we have today, the Old Testament, Genesis, we know the Noah, the flood, the eight people that were on there, and all the animals two by two, and how God cleansed the earth. And out of, through Noah and the ark, repopulated the earth. And he made a promise. Everybody know what that promise was? Never again. Never again. And how do we see that promise? Every time it rains, you look up there and you see that rainbow. It's a reminder. Throughout history and our Christian lives, we see and read and come to understand the promises of God. We may not see that bright, brilliant light, which is the glory of God, very often. But we can see the glory of God in our own mental image through the Word of God. See the glory. See the power. How many of you have seen beautiful sunsets? That's a glory of God. And I've posted several of them on Facebook. How many of you have seen lovely sunrises? Okay, in Hawaii they get both beautiful sunrises and beautiful sunsets. How many have seen your newborn baby's face? And just feel your heart overflowing with love and awe. That's the glory of God. We can see it. We can feel it. We can believe it. We can trust in it. And what is it about a promise that gives us faith in it? When someone makes a promise, when someone promises you something, what do? Okay. Are you going to take them at their word? Or are you going to take them at their past performance? In human terms, that's what most of us do. A person's word is how good? A person's promise is how good? We're talking about promises of God. The promises of God are fulfilled. We don't yet see it completely fulfilled, but we see parts of it being fulfilled. The glory of God, when we see the sunrise, when we see the sunset, when we see that newborn baby, when we hear that newborn baby cry. Peter is talking in verse 18. He says, Christ also suffered for sins for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. You and I have to trust that and believe it. We're not going to see the evidence of it. We may see the evidence of it in some people's lives and how they've been changed and transformed, how they've found peace in the midst of struggle. But that's a promise that God made that He would bless us. Christ comes to fulfill that. We go through the various Psalms. We go through the various Proverbs. Isaiah, and so on.